Good morning. It's time for Daily Chapel at the LCMS International Center in St. Louis. The text is John chapter 15, verses 7 through 11. The Reverend Roy Askins is preaching. The broadcast of Chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces.
A reading from John chapter 15. Jesus said, "If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be full. O Lord, have mercy upon us. Alleluia, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Alleluia.
I haven't, after all, forgotten that it is still the Easter season. Sorry for the wrong responsory there. On to the text today. Apple recently released a new ad promoting their new iPad. In this ad, a massive hydraulic press compresses down a whole slew of physical earthly objects, a piano, a trumpet, some artistic paraphernalia, paint, this type of stuff, and it compresses camera lenses and all these things down into one single, flat, thin, new iPad. Now, there was a bit of blowback on this ad. It seems that most people aren't keen to reduce the real world into a series of ones and zeros, aren't keen to compress the real world into a virtual world. We believe that there's still something important about the physical world and our interactions within it that our digital devices can't replicate. It's also a temptation for the Christian, and here I would say particularly for the Lutheran, to make a similar compression of the faith into matters of the mind only. Matters of the intellect only. And this is in part because we rightly value the written word, perhaps more so than many other Christians. Luther took full advantage of the printing press, and Lutherans ever since have emphasized the need for education. Why? So that people might read. And why might they read? The Word of God. The danger, of course, comes in the compression of the Christian life down to only that which can be read and spoken and thought about and intellected on. Now, it is true, and we must continue to uphold this, that words must be used to proclaim the gospel. Without words, the gospel cannot be spoken. It cannot be proclaimed. It is indeed false to say, preach the gospel at all times. When necessary, use words. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ, St. Paul says. Jesus, in our reading today, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, or again, these things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be full, that my joy may be in you, and your joy may be full. Words are indeed necessary for the proclamation of the gospel. But the love of Jesus is not in words only. Jesus did not love us in words only, but in action and in truth. The love of Jesus takes visible form on a cross. Such also the glory of God. It is not an imagined God, it is a glory. It is not an imagined, intellected glory, not a virtual glory, but a real glory that to our eyes doesn't always seem like glory, because it's the glory of the cross, of the crucified Christ. Look again at how Jesus speaks of love. His Father loved him, and what did that love look like? It looked like the Father loving his Son by sending him to become a man so that he might suffer and die for the sins of the world. And then the love of God raised him from the dead, that you and I might also participate in his resurrection. The love of Jesus also, as he tells us in our reading today, looks like obedience to the Father's commandments. How did Jesus love the Father? By knowing and keeping and abiding in the Father's will and word, that is, by bearing good fruit. Dear people of God, the love of the Christian is also not merely a love in word only, but a love in truth also. Just as our Lutheran forefathers taught and wrote in our confessions, good works are indeed necessary for the Christian. They are not necessary for salvation. They do not earn merit. but they are a necessary part of the Christian life. For good works are both commanded by God and demonstrate that faith is living. For the one who does not bear good fruit, Jesus offers a stern and frightening and terrifying warning. The vine dresser, he says, just a few verses prior to this, the vine dresser who is his father will cut off the branch that does not bear good fruit. But for the one who abides in the love of Jesus, the one who abides in his word, the one who keeps his commandments, that one bears good fruit, and a fruit that is not in word only, but in deed and in truth. Let me offer two last considerations here as we look at this. First, note the power and source of these good works. The love of Jesus, as found in his word and his action for you, is also that which moves you to action and truth. Therefore, abide in this word. Be in the divine service. Hear his word day in and day out. Make it part of who you are. Not simply something you do on Sunday morning, not simply something you wait for devotions in the evening, but a fundamental part of who you are, contemplating and thinking on this word of God at all times. It's a particular temptation for those of us who serve the church, who perhaps work in this building, to overlook this. We think that because we're doing the work of the church and we can slap a Bible verse at the end of our email signature, or we can actually write things and put our Bible passages in the things that we're writing, that we're doing a good job on the whole abiding in the word of Jesus bit. And yet all the while we are neglecting the in-depth meditation and reflection on God's word. Let me encourage you yet again, abide in his word. For in this word you encounter the love of God for sinful man, the word that declares that you are righteous, a word that motivates and moves you to good works. Secondly, let me note what this opportunity to do good works means. Jesus says in our reading today a really fascinating thing. By this is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. Hear that again. What a wonderful opportunity we have. By this is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. When you bear good fruit, when you do the good deeds that God has prepared for you to walk, prepared beforehand for you to walk within, you are bringing glory to the Father. This is the glory that Jesus brought. When he suffers and dies for the sins of the world, he glorifies the Father by fulfilling the Father's will, doing what the Father sent him to do. So also you bring glory to the Father when you serve those whom he has placed in your life. Whether it's here in your vocation at work, whether it's your vocation at home, whether it's your service in the church, you bring glory to God when you do these good works that he has prepared before you, beforehand for you to walk within. What a great opportunity do you have to make God's love real in this world again as he works through you. A love that's real not in ones and zeros, not in virtual worlds behind glowing screens, but in reality and in truth. For in this you bear much fruit and thereby prove to be his disciples and indeed bring him glory. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen.
The broadcast of Chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces. To learn more about long and short-term opportunities to serve, visit servenow.lcms.org.